welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeBounier, bringing you westerns in this hour. Later on, a story from 1945 on This Is My Best, but right now it's the All-Star Western Theater. From October 20th, 1946, Johnny Mack Brown stars in the story, The Man from Alabama.
The makers of Weber's Bread present your All-Star Western Theater.
Drifting along.
From Hollywood comes your all-star Western Theater, starring America's great Western singers, Floy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. Our guest star for today is the Western screen's great action star, Johnny Mack Brown. Now, here are the writers of the Purple Sage.
I love to wake and yawn and face the crimson dawn. That means that night is going along the wagon trail. That big old blazing sun is coming on the run. There's work that must be done along the wagon trail. Yippee-yay,
lazy cowboy.
Hit the saddle.
Yippee-yay,
lazy cowboy.
Got to herd them longhorn cattle. Soon the moon will pale and down the canyon vale we'll hear the coyote wail along the wagon trail.
I wouldn't trade this life of mine for the life of a millionaire.
Though it's rough and it's tough, but I love it just the same.
The Indian gale and the chaparral and the birds up in the air
are a part of the heart of the life of a wagon train. I love to wake and yawn and face the crimson dawn. That means that night is gone along the wagon trail. That big old blazing sun is coming on the run. There's work that must be done along the wagon trail. Yippee-yay,
lazy cowboy. Hit the saddle.
Yippee-yay,
lazy cowboy.
Got to herd them longhorn cattle. Soon the moon will pale and down the canyon vale we'll hear the coyote wail along the wagon trail.
When there was trouble out in the open range in the days of the great cattle kingdoms, the cowpunchers strapped down their six guns and traveled in pairs when they rode fence or hunted for the lost strays. The cowboys had a fierce loyalty toward the brand that employed them. And a rancher who was on the square with his men could expect them to back his play every time. Today, famous Weber's Bread is popular because the bakers of Weber's Bread are on the square with the public they serve. Weber's makes certain that the quality of its bread is always consistent. When you buy a loaf of Weber's Bread, you can be sure that you can always depend on it. Depend on Weber's Bread being well mixed and well baked, that its firm, even texture and distinctive flavor will always add extra enjoyment to every meal. Buy a loaf of Weber's Bread next time you go shopping. You'll like it.
Our guest today is one of the most famous Western stars the screen has ever known. He's made millions of friends and fans and has achieved the reputation of being one of Hollywood's most successful stars. Ladies and gentlemen, your all-star Western Theater is happy to bring you America's hard-riding, straight-shooting star of the Western screen, Johnny Mack Brown. Our guest star is heard in a story of the West written especially for him and entitled The Man from Alabama. Hard Rock is a ghost town today. Yet 50 years ago, it was the wildest, wickedest boom town from the Mississippi River to the shores of San Francisco Bay. Let's go back to the decade just before the turn of the century. Conditions have become so intolerable that the respectable citizens of the town have decided to take action. Caleb Turner, president of the Hard Rock State Bank, has been appointed a committee of one to deliver an ultimatum to Sheriff Dave Belton.
Now, we don't want to be unreasonable or unfair, Sheriff. Something's got to be done. We got a new school teacher coming out in a few days, an Eastern girl from back in Wisconsin. How long do you think we can keep her here if she's going to be insulted every time she walks down the street?
Well, the boys do talk a little rough sometimes, Mr. Kerner.
A little rough, did you say? What have you done about those robbers that have held up the stage 4 times in the last 2 months?
Well...
I'll tell you what you've done. Absolutely nothing. Now, it's got to stop, Sheriff. Twice my bank has lost shipments of money from Denver, and twice the gold bars from the smelter have been taken.
Well, I've done my best, Mr. Kerner, but I just can't handle...
And get someone who can.
That's what I was fixing to bring up. I know an hombre that's so fast with his 6 guns, he can snuff a candle and draw and empty them both before the lights go out.
You know him, eh? Who is he?
I can't say that I actually know him, but I know all about him. Young fellow by the name of Cherokee Red Simmons.
Yeah?
Came from somewhere down around Alabama.
Where is he now?
Last I heard, he was down in Tombstone, Arizona. Seems like he just drifts around wherever there's liable to be a ruckus.
And get in touch with him at once. And offer him whatever it'll take to bring him here. The Citizens Committee has authorized me to spare no expense. We're determined to make this town a fit place to live in.
I'll send him a telegram tonight, Mr. Turner. If we can get him, I'll guarantee you he'll turn Hard Rock every way but loose.
Well, it looks like you two's the only passengers for this stage for Hard Rock. Say, you must be the new schoolmarm. I'm Fleabit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it ain't a condition, ma'am. It's my name. What's yours?
Why, it's Linda Gerald.
Hmm. And what about your handle be, stranger?
It's Rusty.
Rusty, hey? Well, all right, Rusty. Suppose you pump Miss Gerald's paw and tell her you're proud to meet up with her. Then you can both climb aboard and we'll shake, rattle, and roll out of here.
How do you do, Mr. Gerald?
How do you do? How far is it to Hard Rock, Mr. Fleabit?
Well, about 22 miles, ma'am, with most of them standing on edge. But don't you fret yourself none now. Barring flood, fire, tornadoes, earthquakes, or road agents, we'll get there. Yes, ma'am, we'll get there if nothing don't slip or come unraveled. Get up! Halfway point, folks. 11 miles behind us and 11 more miles to go. Get out of here.
I beg your pardon, but I can't help but ask you something. How do you suppose our driver ever was given such a strange nickname as Fleabit?
I reckon it's on account of his whiskers, ma'am.
You mean the fleas get into his whiskers?
No, no, ma'am. What we call a flea-bitten gray is a horse that's gray with sorrow spots. Did you notice the driver's whiskers?
Oh. I see. Is this your home out here? I mean, your original home?
No, ma'am.
My home's in Wisconsin. Have you ever been in Wisconsin?
No, ma'am.
Oh, this is the first time I've ever really been out west. I'm terribly excited. Oh, but they don't have holdups and things like that anymore, the way they did in old days, do they?
I'm afraid they do, ma'am, sometimes.
Oh. What would you do if we were suddenly held up by a whole band of masked men who demanded your money or your life? Just as they do in those dreadful dime novels little boys read.
Well, that'd depend, ma'am.
On what?
Well, on a heap of things.
Get your hands high and keep them high, old-timer. There's a hold up.
Whoa, boys, hold there.
Look, those men. What shall we do?
I do just like they tell you to. There are 7 of them, and they've got the drop on us.
You inside there. Come out with your hands high.
Do like he says.
Keep them 2 covered, Jim.
Yeah.
I want that sack of double eagles you're carrying in the box, old-timer. And don't reach for that carbine if you want to stay healthy.
No, I ain't carrying no...
Shut up and get it out. You got $30,000 there. Jim, come here. Tom.
Yeah.
You 2 lift it down and drill that old pilgrim if he tries anything funny. Now, let's see what we got here.
All I have is $40 in my purse.
Hand it over in the purse, too.
Here it is.
What's that pin to your shirt waist?
It's a watch. But it isn't worth anything. Here's my mother's.
Unpin it.
Oh, please. It's a keepsake. Please don't take it.
Tear it loose, Jim.
Sure, boss.
Oh.
What do you got?
$126 in my left hip pocket.
That bed. Take it, Jim.
Here, boss. I got it.
Okay. I'll get back in that stage and stay there for 15 minutes. Anybody that tries to follow us will get hurt bad. All right, boys, let's travel. Get up there. Come on.
You call yourself a man. You just stood there and let those men take my watch. The watch my mother left me.
I'm sorry, ma'am. What would you have me do?
I don't know. But anything except just stand there. I thought when I came out west, I'd find some real men. But if you're a sample, you're a coward. You're nothing but a coward. I don't think you even know how to use those pistols you're wearing.
Now, hold on, dar, little lady. You're looking for the bug under the wrong chip. When a hombre takes picks on seven gents that's a-toting guns, he ain't brave. He's just a plain teetotal garden variety dern idiot.
And you're just as bad. You let those thieves steal $30,000 without making the slightest effort to stop them.
You darn bet you I did. My pappy didn't fetch up no foolish young'uns.
Miss Gerald, you asked me a little bit ago how long I was planning to stay in Hard Rock, didn't you?
What if I did?
I just thought I'd tell you I'm staying so I can hand you your watch back.
It's not its actual value, Sheriff. It belonged to my mother.
I'll do my best, Miss Gerald. I got a man who'll be here any day now that'll get it if anybody can. I'll put him right on it as soon as he shows up.
Oh, thank you, Sheriff. I'll appreciate it very much. Good night.
Good night, Miss Gerald. What'd you lose, Rusty?
$126 and a heap of self-respect. How about turning me loose on those road agents, Sheriff? Gerald was real set on getting a watch back.
Sorry, Rusty. I got a ring-tail snorter coming in for that job.
Is it true, Sheriff, the stage was held up again?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Turner.
Well, the bank had $30,000 coming in on it. This is the last straw, Sheriff. Have you had any word from your man yet, that Cherokee Red Simmons?
Not a word.
Then try and get in touch with him again. If you can't find him one place, try another. I warn you, Sheriff, if you don't accomplish something soon, our committee will be forced to take back the guy. I warn you, Sheriff, if you don't accomplish something soon, our committee will be forced to take drastic action.
If it's a fair question, Sheriff, who might that old turkey gobbler be?
Oh, that's old Caleb Turner, president of the Hard Rock State Bank.
He's just the man I want to meet. I'd like to rent one of his safe deposit boxes, if he's got any.
Well, I'd be proud to make you known to him in the morning, but say...
I know what you're thinking, Sheriff. No, they didn't get all I was toting. $2,000... and a money belt they never noticed. Nice little bank Turner's got here.
Yeah, we're right proud of it, Rusty. He's even got a private office. That's it right ahead of us.
Wait a minute, Sheriff.
$5,000 is the exact sum, Mr. Deaver.
Maybe be needing some more in a couple of weeks or such a matter.
Any time at all, Mr. Deaver. Glad to have your business at any time.
Come on, Sheriff. I just happened to think of something I've got to do first. Sounded like Turner was busy. We can come back later.
Well, he'll be finished in just a minute or two.
I'm not in any rush. Who was that fella Turner was talking with?
Paul Deaver? Why?
Oh, I thought for a second his voice was familiar. I reckon I was wrong, though. What's this Deaver do?
Owns a big saloon and gambling house over near the diggings at Hangtown.
Hangtown?
Yeah. 50 miles west of here, but still in the county.
Well, it don't sound like a place for Sunday school to hold a picnic.
You can bet it ain't. And Deaver's bad medicine. Meaner than a sidewinder and twice as poisonous.
Runs a crooked layout, huh?
Crookeder than a dog's hind leg. I got no doubt he's guilty of every crime and misdemeanor in the book, including murder. Keeps a half a dozen to a dozen gun slicks around him all the time. Why, there ain't a man in the whole county that ain't afraid of you.
Including you, Sheriff?
Well, I ain't ashamed to admit that I'll leave him alone. Besides, I got my hands full right here in Hard Rock.
Oh, Rusty, yonder comes this school marm. I'm a-getting before she takes me apart again to see what makes me tick.
Hello, Miss Gerald. Miss Gerald, I'd admire for you to listen for just a minute to what I have to say.
I'm afraid nothing you could say would be of interest to me.
Maybe so, ma'am. I never was much a hand to doubt a lady's word. What I wanted to tell you was, I'm satisfied I know where your watch is.
Oh? Where is it?
I can't say right now.
I thought as much. Good morning, Mr. Ruskin.
Listen to me, please. I'm going after it right now. What I wanted you to know was, if I don't bring it back, it won't be for the lack of trying.
I'm afraid you've been reading those dime novels I spoke about. What do you intend to do? Walk boldly into the bandit's lair and say, I want that watch you stole from my fair companion.
Yes, ma'am. Something like that. Miss Gerald, I was taught to respect ladies, but you call me a coward and now you're laughing at me. Get this. I don't give two hoops and a rain barrel for you and the same two hoops for your watch. But you're going to get them back just the same.
Look, Tom, there's that tenderfoot that was on the stage the other day.
Great suffering snakes. Either he's plumb ignorant or else he's got more nerve than good sense. I'll take care of him. Howdy, stranger. Something I can do for you?
Your name, Paul Deaver?
If it ain't, folks have been calling me by the wrong handle for a right smart spell. What business you got with me?
I got a bill here I'm aiming to collect. Read it.
To Paul Deaver, Hangtown. Stolen from me, $126. Stolen from Miss Linda Gerald, $40. Total, $166. Also stolen from Miss Gerald, one lady's gold watch. What kind of a bluff are you trying to run on me, stranger?
No bluff, Deaver.
You're going loco?
Not that I know about. Why?
Because no man talks to Tall Deaver like you're talking without reaching for his guns.
That's what I've been hearing.
Then you're asking for it when I kill you.
That's right. When does the killing start?
When I'm ready. Being as you're a stranger, I'll give you a break. I'm counting to five before I draw on you. Stand back, boys.
Start saying your prayer, pretty boy. There ain't nobody out there as tall as
you. Shut up, Jim. One. Two. Three. You better start reaching.
I'm waiting on you, Deaver. Keep counting.
Four.
Go on.
By grave, stranger, I like your nerve. How about coming to work for me?
Keep counting, Deaver. You just got one more number to go.
You lost your brains, man. I'm giving you a break.
I'm not looking for favors. I heard sheep before I put in with you. Now, are you going to reach for your guns or are you just going to stand there?
You.
Go in to the rest of you. Find your funny notions. Now, where's that watch, Deaver?
I ain't got it.
That one just cropped your ear, Deaver. But so help me, if you don't tell me where that watch is, the next will be aimed someplace else.
I ain't got it. Don't shoot. I'll tell you who has got it.
Get on your horse, Pete, and ride to Hard Rock as fast as you can make it. Tell the big boss Tall is spilling everything he knows.
You know, I couldn't sleep a wink last night, Sheriff. I was laying in bed thinking over the whole situation. And all of a sudden it came to me. Doesn't it seem strange to you this rusty fellow made no effort to protect a charming lady like Miss Gerald the other day?
Well, no, I can't say that it does, Mr. Turner. After all, he was looking into the business end of a half a dozen Winchesters.
Yeah, I know, but what do you know about him? Isn't it possible he's been around here for a long time? Hidden, of course, and been behind all those holdups of the stage?
Well, oh, he don't seem...
Never mind what he seems to be, Sheriff. A gold watch was stolen from Miss Gerald. A watch which he can easily identify. Now, Rusty has a safety deposit box at my bank. If that watch were to be found in his box...
You got any real reason?
Sheriff, I demand you take this Rusty into custody and bring him down to the bank. When we find the watch in his safety deposit box, well, I warrant he'll have a difficult time trying to prove he's not guilty.
morning, Mr. Gerald. Well, looks like you've got just about everybody here, Sheriff.
Rusty, I want you to open up that safety deposit box of yours and show us what's inside.
Why, sure, Sheriff.
Why, it's plumb empty.
What? Why, last night it...
Sheriff, in that money that was taken from me and that stagecoach hold up, there was a $20 gold piece.
Nonsense. Double eagles all over.
But not like this one. It's a trick coin I've had a lot of fun with. A goldsmith in Santa Fe fixed it up for me. It's different from other double eagles because both sides are heads.
Now, if we can find that...
I'll let you search my safe deposit box. Isn't it only fair that Mr. Turner should do the same?
What? I'll permit nothing of the sort. This is an outrage.
Mr. Turner, I'll have to ask you to open it.
Yeah? Get your hands up, all of you.
Ow! He's all yours, Sheriff.
I'll get you for this, Rusty. I'll get you. Don't forget.
Rusty, how'd you know it was him?
I recognized Tal Deaver, the leader of the holdup men, by his voice. And I persuaded him to tell me then. I had a notion Turner tried to frame me, so I slipped into the bank last night. By the way, Mr. Turner, your back door could be unlocked with a hairpin. I opened my box, and in it, I found this.
My watch.
It'll probably have to be used as evidence, Miss Gerald. But you'll get it back.
Oh, Rusty, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I'll ever thank you.
Forget it, miss.
You know, a spell back, Rusty, you asked me for a job. And, well, I told you I had another fella for it. Cherokee Red Simmons. He never showed up. The job's yours if you want it.
Thanks, Sheriff. But I guess I'll be drifting along. Winter's coming on, and it'll be nice and warm down there in El Paso.
Would you let me... I mean, would you mind if I wrote you?
I'd be mighty proud to hear from you, ma'am. General Delivery, El Paso.
But how shall I address the letter? Just Rusty?
No, ma'am. I'm sure I'll get it if you address it to Cherokee Red Simmons.
Thank you, Johnny Mack Brown. It was a real privilege having you as our guest today. Our guest star will return in a few moments, ladies and gentlemen. Appearing with Johnny Mack Brown today were Joe Forte, Eddie Fields, Helen Gerald, Al Sloey, Jimmy Dean, and Foy Willing.
Friendship meant a great deal in the early Western days, just as it does now. Before the law came to the Western frontier, rustlers and other desperados preyed on the vast cattle herd, the grays and the open rangeland. A man had to depend on his six gun and his true friends in order to survive. Nowadays, friendship means the same thing as it did in those far-off, rugged times. It means someone who will help, someone on whom you can always depend. The bakers of Weber's Bread are friends of the housewife, for they bake famous Weber's Bread, the bread that helps because it forms a substantial part of the daily food menu. The bread on which you can depend because its fine quality is consistent. Next time you go shopping, buy a loaf of Weber's Bread and try it. Your entire family will enjoy its firm, even texture, its golden brown crust, and its distinctive flavor. Remember, it's Weber's Bread in the blue gingham wrapper.
Now, here's Foy Willing returning with today's special guest of your all-star Western theater, Johnny Mack Brown.
Johnny, we just want to tell you that we've been looking forward to your first appearance on our theater for a long, long time.
And that goes for me, too, Foy. But the folks out at Monogram have been carrying me at a mighty fast clip for the past few months.
Well, Monogram Pictures ain't no foolish studio. They got to supply your films to one of America's great Western picture audiences, the fans of Johnny Mack Brown.
That's mighty nice of you to say that, and I just hope those fans think as much of me as I do of them.
Well, we know they do, Johnny. And again, thanks for coming to see us, and we'll look forward to another visit real soon.
That's for me, Foy, and so long, folks.
Now, from their latest all-color Republic picture, Along the Oregon Trail, The writers of The Purple Sage sing for you another of those fine, foy-willing Western arrangements. Oregon. Men?
Oregon!
Oregon! Oregon! I'm on my way, I'm heading west, I'll never stop to rest. I'll make Oregon my home. Oregon, where the timber hits the sky. The mountain streams keep a tumbling, but on the morning dew. I'm on my way, I'm heading west, I'll never stop to rest till that Oregon in view. The rolling hills of Oregon, the fields of golden grain, the plains I love to dwell upon, the sunshine and the rain. Oregon, once I'm there, I'll never roam. I'm on my way, I'm heading west, I'll never stop to rest. I'll make Oregon my home. The rolling hills of Oregon, the fields of golden grain, the plains I love to dwell upon, the sunshine and the rain. Oregon, once I'm there, I'll never roam. I'm on my way, I'm heading west, I'll never stop to rest. I'll make Oregon my.
Hollywood, you've heard your all-star Western Theater, a V.N. Bear production starring America's great Western singers. Still speaking. Next week, another great star in a story of the West.
This program came to you from the studios of KNX Columbia Square.
The All-Star Western Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 20th, 1946 on CBS. Star Johnny Mack Brown was a well-known film actor at that time, his career starting in the 1920s on the silver screen, and in the same year as that broadcast, he was in no less than 10 motion pictures. You're listening to an hour of radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lifonier. Coming up next, it's This Is My Best, one of their final broadcasts, or surviving ones, from CBS, heard on December 11th, 1945, a Western story called You Can't Have Cake and Eat It.
It's curtain time at the Globe Theater. Time now for another performance at the Globe Theater. And here is your host and master of ceremonies, Jack Tierney, to tell you about the play.
Hello there. Well, it's laughing time at the Globe Theater today. Our play has no other purpose than to make you smile, chuckle, or if you feel so inclined, give out with a good big guffaw. Our story is about a cowboy on a western ranch who never did see a woman who was half as good looking as his horse. That is, until the new schoolmarm arrived. Even then, he maintained that no man would permit a woman to rope him into marriage. It was always a man's job to chase the woman. Well, that's one man's opinion, of course. We'll see. The title of our play is You Can't Have Cake and Eat It. And our stars are Nancy Coleman from the screen and Bill Goodwin from radio. Oh, yes, and James Wallington is here, too. In fact, he'll set the scene for us. Okay, Jimmy, take it from here.
Thank you.
waning autumn sun smiles gently down on a western ranch house, pauses, then slips behind a mountain range. In the ranch corral, wise old cow ponies nod to themselves, half sleeping, half awake. From a distant pasture comes a soft lowing of bedding cattle. And in the ranch house itself, Babe Storm and his two sisters, Rach and Orpah, add their bit to this peaceful pastoral.
Now, Babe, that ain't no way for a grown man to act.
Ah.
Babe, this ain't being reasonable.
Ah.
Wendy!
Yes'm?
Stop Babe from breaking them dishes.
You keep out of this, Wendy. These are as much my dishes as they are Rach and Orpah's. And I can break them if I want.
Now, see here, Babe.
And as long as they keep trying to marry me off to everything that comes along in skirts, I'm gonna want.
Well, admitting it ain't none of my business, Babe, but what's all the shooting about this time?
They got another schoolmarm after me.
She's a real nice girl, Wendy. Pretty, too.
Yeah. You and Rach think any female who don't chew tobacco in the house is a real nice girl. And if her mustache don't cover her chin, she's pretty.
Well, you're awful choosy, Babe.
No, it ain't that, Rach. The trouble with Babe is, he's always trying to compare women with horses. And there just ain't many women that can stand that kind of competition.
Huh?
What do you mean, huh?
Just what I said, huh? You and Rach have been throwing girls at me for 5 years, and I'm getting...
4 years.
Five. The first two you spent dragging all the local talent out here. Then when I wouldn't fall for any of them, you put up a schoolhouse just so you could bring in school moms and have them live with us.
We promised Ma and Pa that we'd see you married, Babe. And Rich and me intend to keep that promise.
Over my dead body. I'm going to head out for the line cabin and stay there till this school mom is gone.
Well, you might wait until you see the girl before you go riding off in all directions, Babe.
Why should I wait to see her? She won't be half as pretty as my horse. Horn-rimmed glasses, skinny, bow-legged.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Probably suffering from adenoids. Huh?
I didn't mean to intrude. The door was open, so I walked in. I'm Jeannie McKittrick. She's the new teacher we've been telling you about, Babe.
She is.
And this is our brother, Babe, Jeannie.
How do you do?
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, ma'am. I mean, gosh, you're almost as pretty as my horse.
Your what?
My horse. Your hair's the same color and... Well, I guess just about everything's the same.
That's a compliment, Jeannie. Yeah, Babe loves horses.
For a second, I didn't feel very flattered.
Well, you sure should. There ain't many people make me think of horses.
Oh.
Well, that is not the way you do.
Thank you.
I can't get over the resemblance. The small ankles, the big eyes, and that hair. Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter?
Why didn't you and Rach tell me she was going to look like this? I gotta go shave. Wendy, I'm in a tub of butter.
What happened?
Chocolate cake.
Huh?
When you and I come back from riding line, I went into the kitchen to get a drink of buttermilk, and Jeannie was in there making a chocolate cake for supper.
Yeah?
Well, she just finished icing it, and... She gave me the icing bowl and spoon to lick and...
Well, I'll be blasted. Seduced by a chocolate cake.
Huh?
What won't them women think of me?
Oh, it wasn't Jeannie's fault. What happened, I mean?
What did happen?
Well, first she smiled at me.
Yeah.
And then she walked out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And went to her room.
And then?
Then I ate the chocolate cake.
Oh... Then what happened?
Well, what could happen? I ran out of the house. I guess the only thing I can do now is apologize.
Why should you? After all, she tempted you.
Well, just the same, right after supper, I'll take her out on the porch and apologize. And you see that Orpah and Rach don't go sticking their noses into it.
It's a lovely night, isn't it, Babe?
Yes'm. Would you like to sit in the swing?
I'd love to. Well, that is, if you would.
Oh, sure. I like to swing. Go ahead, sit down. Well, I suppose you're wondering why I asked you to come out here on the porch.
Well, I imagine it has something to do with the disappearance of my chocolate cake.
How'd you know?
It wasn't hard to deduce. After all, you haven't paid much attention to me since I arrived.
Well, that just ain't true.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you sure ought to. I've been done nothing but pay attention to you.
You certainly have managed to keep it well hidden.
Well, it ain't my fault. You ain't even so much as looked at me.
That certainly isn't true, babe. You haven't made a move that I haven't noticed.
Honest?
Cross my heart. I can close my eyes right now and see that slow smile breaking across your face. And the little boy look round your eyes and colic that won't stay combed.
Gosh, you make me sound like Andy Devine.
Well, what's Andy Devine got that you haven't?
Well, when you say it that way, nothing.
Can you see me when you close your eyes, babe?
I ain't been able to see anything else for 3 weeks. Can't even see horses no more.
Really?
Honest Injun. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I just keep seeing you and... Well, doggone it, Jeannie. Will you marry me and put me out of my misery?
Of course I'll marry you, babe.
You will?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. Now I have put my foot in it. Hey, how much longer do you think I'll have to hide out up here in the line cabin, Wendy?
About 5 minutes.
Huh? Only been here a week.
I know. But if my eyes ain't a fool me, here comes Jeannie riding up the trail.
Riding up? Let me see. Gee, Willikins, Rachel and Orpha must have sent her up here.
You didn't think they'd let you get away without a marrying the gal, did you?
Well, I ain't gonna do it. She tricked me into proposing to her, but she ain't ever gonna trap me into marrying her.
Uh-huh.
Of all the low-down ornery tricks, trailing a man 20 miles.
Right at supper time, too, so you'll have to ask her to stay.
Well, I won't do it. Hey, where are you going?
Away. I'm too tender-hearted to stand around and watch you being massacred.
Hello, babe.
Hello, Jeannie.
It's quite a climb up here.
Uh-huh. You know, it'd been easier on the horse and you, too, if you'd taken your ride just around down in the valley.
Oh, I suppose. But I didn't come just for the ride, babe.
Oh?
I came about our engagement.
Well, I was afraid of that. Well, I mean, I'm glad you did. That's exactly what I want to talk about. Now, look here,
wait,
Jeannie.
Wait, babe.
Yeah?
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, babe, but... Well, I never did intend to marry you.
What?
I never did intend to marry you.
Well, if that ain't just like a woman. If you didn't intend to marry me, why'd you say yes in the first place?
Well, I don't know, babe. You see, you'd eaten the chocolate cake, and you were so anxious to make up for it, and I...
Oh, that's right. Blame it all on me.
I'm not blaming it all on you. It was a beautiful night, and... Well, I'm afraid you have a way of making girls forget anything but you when they're with you, babe.
Well, if this ain't a fine how-do-you-do. A man begins planning his whole life around a woman, and then for no reason at all, she says, "Sorry, babe, I changed my mind. We're not engaged."
Oh, but I have a reason, a good reason.
What is it?
Pete, you see, after you left and I was by myself, I had a chance to remember my promise to Pete.
Who's Pete?
School superintendent back in my hometown in Kansas. We've been engaged for... Years.
Well, I'll be doggone.
We've always talked about getting married after I'd had my fling at teaching, and, well, I've had it now, and I'm going home to marry Pete.
Well, what happens to me?
Oh, be honest, babe. You didn't really want to marry me.
Well, now, see here. Don't try and make out that this is my idea. I asked you to marry me. As long as I was hooked. I mean, I don't know how you can say things like that. How'd you know I didn't really want to get married?
Oh, Rachel, Orpha dropped a few hints, and... Then when a man rides away and hides from his new fiancée for a whole week without even leaving word as to where he's gone, well...
Oh. Well, I was just about to get supper when you rode up.
Yes?
Well, do you know how to make biscuits?
Oh, sort of. But I had no idea you'd want me to. You know, most men seem to think that if a girl tries to be helpful, she's chasing them. You know, the old see-how-domestic-I-am approach?
They do?
Are you sure you don't feel that way?
Oh, of course not. Why should I? After all, you're engaged to another fella. I don't have to worry about you no more.
That's right. I'd almost forgotten.
Forgotten, Pete?
I told you that you make a girl forget things.
Well, well, look, you start getting things ready for supper, and I'll go fetch some water. I reckon that's about the best supper I ever ate, Jeannie.
Well, maybe we can do it again sometime. I'd like to get a lot of practice before I go back to marry Pete.
Oh, yeah, Pete. What kind of hombre is this Pete?
Oh, he's a grand person.
Mm-hmm. What would he think if he knew that I'd asked you to marry me and you'd said yes?
Nothing. He's very broad-minded.
What if he figures we're, attracted to each other?
Oh, he wouldn't. But if he did, I could assure him that no girl could ever mean as much to you as a horse. Couldn't I?
Yeah, I guess you could.
Anyway, Pete isn't a bit jealous.
I see. Now, look, didn't you feel nothing? I mean, any interest in me?
Oh, of course I did. I was terribly sorry for you. I could see how your sisters were treating you, throwing women at your head endlessly. No wonder you hate women.
Oh, I don't hate women.
You don't?
No, why should I hate women? I'm not married.
Oh.
No. I don't hate women, but...
Yes?
You know, for no reason at all, I think I'm beginning to hate Pete.
I'll tell you, babe, you're the luckiest man I ever knowed.
I am?
Why, sure. Why, there ain't one sucker in 1,000 that gets a hook stuck in his mouth like you did and gets away.
Well, now, wait a minute. Jeannie's got a lot of good qualities.
Oh, them's the very worst kind.
What do you mean?
Well, if they got good qualities, they expect you to have them. And if you ain't got them, they try to give them to you.
Well, why? If they don't like you the way you are, why do they marry you?
Well, as near as I can figure it out, it's the same principle that makes them move all the furniture around just after everything is comfortable.
Well, do you think Jeannie'd try and reform me, Wendy?
Will a fish swim?
Well, now, you've got to admit that she hasn't ever chased me the way the others did.
Oh, that don't prove nothing. Except that maybe she's a mite smarter than the others. Probably setting a trap.
No, I don't think so. She had plenty of chance last night to act coy and helpless, and, well, she treated me just like I was another woman.
She what?
Well, like she was another man then. Only that night on the porch when I asked her to marry me, I kissed her. And
you didn't.
Yes, I did, and she didn't act like she was another man then. You know, Wendy, I think I'd better go down to the schoolhouse.
Come in. Well, babe, I thought you were staying up at the cabin.
Well, I was, Jeannie, but I got to thinking that now that we're, disengaged, there ain't any reason for my hiding out, and... Say... This is quite a school you have here.
Haven't you ever been in it before?
Uh-uh. You're the first school mom I ain't been afraid of.
Is that because I'm not chasing you?
Well, partly that, and partly because...
Yes?
Well, partly because you're you. A man can feel relaxed around you.
Is that a compliment?
Why, of course it's a compliment.
Well, I'm not so sure. I've always understood that a man prefers a girl who's exciting.
Who told you that? Pete?
Who? Oh, Pete. Yes, he told me.
Well, he just don't know.
Oh, Pete's very understanding. But he is. He knows how to make a girl feel she's important. Of course, he's much different than you.
Well, I should hope.
Naturally. He isn't as big or as strong as you are, babe, but...
How many kids does he want?
What?
How many kids does he want?
Well, we haven't ever discussed it.
Well, why not? If I was ever going to get married. Which, of course, I'm not. I'd want 6 or 7 kids, and I'd want to know how the girl felt about it, too.
Oh?
How many kids would you want?
Oh, about 6 or 7.
I thought you would. Now, what happens if Pete don't want any kids? What'll you do then?
Well, I really don't know, but... Well, I'm sure Pete'll want whatever I want. He isn't afraid of marriage and its responsibilities like some people.
Oh. Well, I guess that's all I needed to find out. So long, Jeannie. I'll see you later. Maybe.
Comanche's really a fine horse, babe. Thank you for letting me ride him.
Well, he needed the exercise.
Oh, babe.
What's wrong?
Everything. Can't you ever sound the least tiny little bit romantic?
I suppose Pete does.
He would if he were here.
Well, if he's so perfect, why don't you go home and marry him? Well, why don't you?
Maybe I'm afraid to.
What, afraid to marry him?
No, afraid to go home, I mean. You see, I haven't heard from Pete in weeks and weeks.
You haven't?
Not a line.
Well, gee, then, why don't you forget him and... Well, why don't you forget him?
Oh, well, I couldn't do that, babe.
Why not?
Well, I want to get married and, well...
Well, you could marry me.
Oh, no, babe. I'd always feel that way back in your mind you might think I tricked you into it.
Well, but that ain't so.
That wouldn't make any difference if you thought so, babe. No, I guess I'll have to marry Pete. Or, well, I guess I'll have to marry Pete.
Sounds pretty silly to me.
Oh, but it isn't, babe. Anyway, I'm sure Pete will do the right thing.
Huh?
I said I'm sure Pete will do the right thing. You see... Well, I know you understand, babe.
Yeah, I understand. I understand plenty. Those were her exact words, Wendy. I'm sure Pete will do the right thing.
Well, ain't nothing you can do about it.
The heck there ain't. I'm going to take a trip back to Jeannie's hometown and have a good heart-to-heart talk with this Pete guy. When I get through with him,
he'll
either come out here and do the right thing by Jeannie, or he won't be in no condition to do anything.
But what if Jeannie don't want you to interfere?
She ain't going to know anything about it.
Huh? Now, how are you going to go all the way to Kansas and back without her knowing you're gone?
Because you're going to tell her I've gone back to the line cabin.
I am.
You certainly are. You tell her I went up there to track down a mountain cat that's been killing calves or something. Then when I get back with Pete, we can give her a real surprise.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me I heard someplace, don't never surprise a woman. But there ain't no point in riding up to the cabin, Miss Jeannie. When Babe gets a hold of whatever it is he's after, he'll come back.
Well, I suppose you're right, Wendy, but it certainly seems lonely around here without him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
It'll be a week tomorrow since he left.
Uh-huh.
Seems strange that Babe didn't tell Orphan Rach that he was going hunting. Do you suppose he's hiding from me?
Why should he be hiding from you? Why, he knows your promise to that there Pete feller.
Well, that's true, only... Oh. Wendy, can you keep a secret?
Why, sure.
There isn't any Pete fella, Wendy.
I didn't think that... What?
I don't know anyone named Pete.
But the things you've been telling, babe, all that about the Pete would probably do the right thing and everything.
Well, I was just trying to prod Babe into taking some action.
Well, you done that all right.
Do you really think so, Wendy?
I'm positive.
Well, when do you think we'll see any results?
Just as soon as Babe comes back. If he ever does come back.
There ain't nothing wrong with your teaching, Jeannie.
It's just that it don't look as though you're the one to catch Babe.
So we gotta find some new bait.
I see. Well, I'm very sorry. When do you want me to leave?
Well, we got the new school marm coming in next Monday, and we thought if you could arrange to leave over the weekend, that it'd be better for
us. Rich! Awful, Wendy! Where is everybody?
In here, Babe. Something wrong?
Oh, no. Nothing at all. I just been played for the biggest sucker that... Oh, so you're still here.
Yes, Babe, but don't worry. I'm leaving Saturday.
Leaving Saturday, huh? Where are you going? Back home to marry Pete?
What? Yes.
Well, good luck to you both.
Thank you, Babe.
Only for your information, there ain't no Pete.
What? Did Wendy tell you after promising to keep it a secret?
Wendy told me nothing. I ain't seen Wendy since I got back from Kansas.
From where?
You heard me. Kansas. I went all the way back there to have a talk with Pete and make him come out here and do the right thing. Then when I get back to your hometown, I find out there ain't no such guy as Pete. Never was.
You went all the way back there just to... just for me?
Yeah. Wasn't I a prize sucker?
Oh, babe, if I'd only known. Will you two stop talking in circles? What's going on here?
You gals keep out of this. I just wanted Jeannie to know that I knew there wasn't any guy named Pete before...
Before what, babe?
Well, before I marry you.
Marry me? Do you mean it, babe?
Well, I never meant anything so much in my life, Jeannie.
Oh, babe.
After all, I spent too much money on that trip to Kansas not to have something to show for it. Besides, it's time you and Rach and Orpha and every other female found out that the woman don't live who can catch a man. The man always catches the woman.
Thank you, Nancy Coleman and Bill Goodwin, for a swell performance. Well, audience, that was a successful blending, taking Nancy Coleman from the movies and teaming her with radio's Bill Goodwin. As a cowboy, Bill is also an excellent radio announcer, or vice versa. And Nancy makes a pretty swell schoolteacher, Well, we have to go now. Until it's curtain time again at the Globe Theater, this is Jack Tierney, your host, saying goodbye and good luck.
This Is My Best, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 11th of December, 1945, a CBS episode. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.